This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 787. Is that a jet? I ask that every time.
I don't think they've gotten that high with the jets yet.
No.
No, they definitely have. 787, yeah.
They have?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm Brian Kilby. Diecast confirmed that there was a 787. Chris said that there probably wasn't. Don did not chime in about that.
Don has a Hank eating his feet, so he's a little preoccupied.
That is a cat. It's not a euphemism. Matt's also here.
Yes, I am.
And Rob.
Hello. Also, I don't think that would be a euphemism. That would just be a fetish.
Be both.
No, if it was a fetish, that's a pretty direct reference to what's going on rather than a veiled statement.
Like a Hank eating me, like, sounds like, you know.
Someone named Hank or Henry, yes.
Yeah. Yes, okay. It's going to be one of those shows. Man. Okay. So it is July. That means what? San Diego Comic-Con is next month. Is that when it is?
Next week.
Wait, it's next week.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Someone didn't read the show notes.
No, I didn't. It's always in August, is it not?
No, it's always in July. Yeah, it's usually right around my birthday every year.
Well, crap. So there's going to be stuff this year at SDCC.
Reveals, yeah. We talk about this some in the news.
Okay.
And purchasing with QR codes.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. Let's jump. Let me because I'm going to follow the show notes order. The last time I checked the HIS, it was at 16,000, like 700. I bet it's probably close to that right now.
Probably.
Has it hit all the stretch goals yet?
Yes.
Yes. It's 16,389 with 33 days left. The lightsaber did not succeed. It had like 1,400, I think. When
is anyone really shocked by that, honestly?
Yeah, well, I mean, sort of.
At this point, no.
No.
And of course, that means that it's no longer on the HasLab page. It is. They actually do list the not funded, except for the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, Cookie Monster is the only one that was disappeared.
Yeah, that disappeared.
Well, how about they rerun it with Cookie Monster holding the lightsaber?
I don't think that will help.
Okay, SDCC is next week. So there are product reveals, all sorts of stuff. There's this, they sent me a press release. Yeah, the press release said...
This might take a minute.
Yeah. Okay. So it says, "Hi, Brian. Today, Hasbro announced its new personalization platform with its first product introduction through Hasbro Selfie Series.
Oh, this thing. I forgot about that.
Launching fall 2022 exclusively on the Hasbro Pulse mobile app. The custom offering allows fans to create..." This is the email to me and to everybody. They just copy and paste names. That allows fans to create a collector-grade 6-inch action figure in their likeness based on classic to current characters seen across popular films, television series, and comics, but not toy lines, which is what these are. Hasbro Selfie Series figures will debut with fan-favorite character costume designs from G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters, Power Rangers, and Marvel, as well as designs inspired by Star Wars heroes. But people at SDCC will be able to preview this, which Diecast did this like 10 years ago.
At Toy Fair?
At New York Comic Con or Toy Fair?
New York Comic Con.
So you have a Captain America with your face on it?
Yeah, but it's like a 12-inch figure.
So, I mean, I guess they have it down like where they can do this at 6-inch. They've been able to do this for a while. I mean, Mattel does this, Hasbro does this with this like realistic face scan. So I'm guessing, it says it's through the app, so I'm assuming it's some form of LiDAR probably. But like, if your phone doesn't have LiDAR, I don't know how in the heck that would work. Maybe they'll just interpolate it from photos.
That's what I would think.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question, Brian, because I'm not familiar with the technology behind this. In the past, whenever you had a personalized figure, it was usually like the G.I. Joe, the helmeted one, and you just got a bio. That was as close as you
that
got.
Was just, yeah.
Yeah. How are they going to, if molding and such costs money, they're going to 3D print this perhaps, so that way it's not as expensive on a per item basis since you don't get the volume discounts of production? Is that how they're doing this?
I have no idea, Don. I don't know how it works.
They might just be paint printing the facial features onto a few basic form heads.
In that case, you probably don't need LiDAR because they're not
right.
They don't worry about the depth and all of that stuff. It would just be like what you look like.
You know, it's essentially what they do with Black Series at this point with the actor likenesses. You know, they will have that sculpted to match as close as they can, but like the actual details of the features are a paint print.
Yeah.
I wonder if they can do like someone with like one eye or maybe like a big scar on one side of their face. I wonder how those would come out.
Let's find out. I mean, it depends on how much these things cost. Let's do Don and put a scar across his face.
Yeah,
that's from Massey Attack.
One source I saw was projecting the cost of this to be around $60.
We could do that for Don. Wedding.
I don't think that's that bad when you consider a 6-inch really. Figure is
considering $25 like $25 or $30 already.
The figure's already $25. Yeah.
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 So. And I'm guessing the packaging would probably be pretty standard unless they just like put your face in like, you know, I'm
it's
just
going to be standard.
Probably a brown box. Select style box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put something in the Discord from Form Labs, which appears to have something to do with this. And it does appear to be 3D printing.
Nice. Okay. So looking at the photo the video that he's showing or showed, it is much more intricately detailed than that. So yeah, I'm not certain about the technology. Maybe it's LiDAR, maybe it's not, but it looks to be more than that when it comes to how the face or head is formed. So mm-hmm. How is Babby formed?
And I'll form the head.
Yes. Is Diecast calling into an Art Bell rerun? Nice. Okay.
Diecast is live from 2003.
I mean, I'll be honest. I wouldn't mind having a Ghostbusters figure. That's the only thing they've really shown off.
I would want.
That would only be, you know, four of us need to do that and make our own little Ghostbusters set. Egon. I'm calling Egon right now.
They've really missed an opportunity here to make some really creepy Titan Masters.
Yeah.
Yes.
It might have been Ben Yee, but I saw somebody today suggest that they should do it for Transformers and have like the hard hat, you know, construction workers from G1, you know, like the spider. Yeah.
Blade has a good idea for this too. He just suggested in our Discord, tfradio.net/Discord, join us live every Wednesday night.
I missed what he said.
Need a Red Series Spike and exosuit for Transformers to get in on this, because then you could have you in an exosuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah, Diecast, you're always wanting questions to ask Hasbro. Jot that down.
Do it.
Yeah. or we can put Don's head on Miko's body. I think he would really like
Actually, if they're doing the 6-inch figures.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that was thinking that.
Yeah, but like just put it on like a red figure base, and I could have like Galvatron with my head. That would be creepy.
sort of like from Build Fighters for Rob and Chris, where the end credits, they would have the Yoris or their face on the Gundam, so it's very weird.
So
they did that in G Gundam too, in a couple of key scenes.
So remember, Don, everything in Build Fighters is a reference to something that came before.
I know, I can't remember everything. I'm sorry.
No, it's impossible. So Proctor Reveal's planned, expecting Legacy, Shattered Glass, or Spark. There's going to be an Earth Spark panel to introduce cast members. I honestly don't care. I'm sure it'll be fun, but like that's just not my thing.
I'm curious, certainly, since Nick Roche is involved, but that's...
I hate to say, like, I not that I've poo-pooed media, but I have mostly poo-pooed media.
Well, I mean, okay, everybody wasn't really expecting Cyberverse to be what it eventually became.
I didn't finish Cyberverse. I did finish BotBots, and I love BotBots.
You should get back around to Cyberverse, though.
Okay. Yeah. I need to finish Red 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to do that too.
I need to start Red 2015.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I'm
me too.
But I mean,
same.
But if the track record, if shows like Rescue Bots that was pretty strong throughout its entire run, and you've got Cyberverse, which ended up being a lot of fans loving that show, there could be a lot of and there's been so many shows that people wrote off early, like Princess of Power, that wound up having a lot of heart and a lot of depth to it. So yeah. This Earth Spark could be something along those lines.
Yeah, but Don, it's just the thing is, I watch so little TV, I have so little time for media that I can't consume while working, which is usually a podcast or an audiobook.
I
prioritize everything way down, so I just don't have time to watch TV. I watch Star Trek when it's on, and that's basically it.
I have not even seen season 4 of Miraculous Ladybug. I have missed an entire season.
That is. I have heard of that.
I'm just saying it's a series I like.
He's mentioned it before.
I haven't had a chance to even watch the entire fourth season.
I'm surprised it's only up to the fourth season, because I could swear the whole time Don has been a regular on the show, he's been talking about Miraculous Ladybug.
I think I've heard him mention it. I was thinking like the Miraculous Miss Marigold or something. I thought that Maisel. I thought that was his thing.
No, Christy watches that.
But yeah, Don, you watch way more TV than I do. Everybody watches more TV than I do. I went from being the person in high school who watched 100 hours of TV a week, literally, to somebody who just doesn't care about TV.
I mean, at this point, I don't watch that much TV. I don't even have like over the air hooked up. I watch what I watch on streaming, and basically, I just watch stuff at mealtime, and the rest of the time, I can't be bothered to like focus. I don't have the attention span anymore to barely even watch an hour-long show. That's my problem.
I'll get in like a movie a week. I'll watch some form of a movie because I love cinema, but I don't watch TV.
I mean,
I've started watching more things with the arm messing up because it's hard to sit and play video games with that. But
right.
Devilman Crybaby turned out to be really good on Netflix, but definitely not safe for work or children or anything remotely like this.
So another thing I want to mention
delicate
about
sensibilities. Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention about SDCC next week. So they're going to be exclusives. The thing that pisses me off is Dr. Mindbender is an SDCC exclusive.
Okay. Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah. So the exclusives are going to be different this year than previous SDCCs. Hasbro is not going to have any inventory on hand at the event. How this is going to work, if you're at SDCC and you want to buy one of the exclusives, you go to the Hasbro booth. They will give you a one-time use code that will let you place a pre-order. And then after SDCC, they will open, at some point after SDCC, they will open up the exclusives to general purchase.
If there's anything left.
If there's anything left.
So the way the message was phrased, it seemed to be like, you know, legal obligation to say while supplies last. But in the same breath, basically, like the example of the Dr. Mindbender, they're making three times as many of that as the Zartan last year. So I think they are still, you know, focusing on having a large quantity of exclusives available to have as many people be able to get access to these as possible. I don't think it's going to be like
good.
I don't think it's going to be like the old days again either way.
Hopefully they will limit the amount people can buy at the show.
If I was reading the message correctly, it is a limit of one per person.
So yeah, actually, what they're going to do, you can get Dr. Mindbender there, but on Hasbro Pulse, you'll have to get Dr. Mindbender V2. That was a crappy, completely different look for Dr. Mindbender. I'll shut up.
Now, is the delivery date for these figures far enough out? This could be a made-to-order situation, or is it too?
We don't know when the delivery date's going to be. So, the theory we're working on right now is that we talked about this a little bit in the past few weeks. Hasbro's decision to be at SDCC probably came late enough that they were already planning for the PulseCon style fulfillment where the stuff would come around like September. So probably the stuff is still going to be in that general time frame. Whether that means that they've got time to tell the factory to make X number or not, probably not at this point.
Probably not.
You know, I would think they would need at least a few extra months to be able to work something like that. Like, I would say a minimum of 6 months to be able to place and have an order finished.
Don, you have something on your shoulder.
Yeah, but it's minding its own business at the moment, so we should probably just, you know, let sleeping cats lie, basically.
You know, it's not something that I want them to go to all the time, but if it makes it easier to order something on a made-to-order format, I'd be willing to wait an extra month or two or whatever the case is if it's something that I'm really looking forward to getting versus trying to do like in the old days with Madden Collector and Digital River and all that, trying to fight to get something ordered and then not even sure once it goes through. I mean, what do y'all think? I mean, would it be better slowly moving to that where you know you've got something because you have a longer window if you don't mind waiting a bit to get it?
I think as an aside, our podcast listeners should go check out this episode on YouTube and watch Don's small cat playing on his shoulder the whole time he's talking, because it's one of the most wholesome cat moments Don has had in his whole history on the show, because he's not drawing blood.
If you hear a light jingling over the audio, that's Hank. That's Hank's collar.
Yep.
Because he's too small for an air tag yet. And but believe me, we will air tag him as soon as we can.
I agree in principle that like it'd be good to be able to have these exclusives made to the actual number of orders there are for them. So everybody who wants one within reason can get at least one. The problem is, like, I don't think in general people are going to be that excited to wait 6 to 8 months to have the exclusives they ordered at SDCC be delivered to them.
And I hate to say it.
I imagine we'd need a lead time similar to what we have with the HasLab Star Saber to make that work. So
I do want to point out that I don't think that we're thinking through like the whole thing, the whole nut here. So they're exclusives for a reason. I mean, a convention exclusive, the people who buy it have some expectation that you get some benefit of going to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody can get it, it kind of takes away the exclusivity. It just makes it, you know, like a time bound deal. And I don't like the idea of exclusives, but if I went to the convention, I would probably be pretty pissed off if anybody could just sort get of it. Like
if they were marketed as SDCC exclusives specifically, which I don't think these will be.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Sort of like the Cobra Commander that's coming with the Hiss tank isn't quite the regular Cobra Commander that I wanted, so I might get that
Mickey Mouse misprint one.
Yeah, it's basically the old Brian Savage BotCon argument that I only half agree with, but like
right.
But I don't disagree when we
couldn't buy the BotCon exclusives at BotCon because they were saving the BotCon exclusives for a different convention.
Yeah. Yes. Not that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
2016, what a year.
So there are two small leaks. Go to tfradio.net to just check them out. It's Selects DK3 and Studio Series 86 Wheelie.
Yeah, they're small leaks because they're tiny little pictures.
Yep.
The DK3 is like the tiniest picture, and it's blurry as hell. But we know what it is.
Yeah, right. The wheelie though, it just feels unnecessary.
I do not mind it because I never got the Legends version of Titans Return wheelie.
Titans Return wheelie
looks good, but does have some structural problems, and the paint probably could have been better to represent the character as, you know, seen in the movie. So I'm fine that they're taking another pass at this. Honestly, it's been a few years.
Yeah, Titans Return wheelie did not hold together in vehicle mode at all.
Yeah,
like nothing. But I'm waiting for better pictures of this one before I pass judgment, because like the arms don't look great to me.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'll wait for better pictures, preferably with an alt mode, before I pass judgment.
For whatever reason, Wheelie is one of those characters or toys that holds this weird spot in my brain that when I see a new version of it, it scratches like a soft spot in my brain that like makes me happy. I think because I had him as a kid, like during an especially rough time, and it just something I draw comfort from it, but I don't draw comfort from this one. I'm like, what the hell, why do we need this?
I mean, if nothing else, we can say the Studio Series Wheelie will be better than the previous Studio Series 86 Wheelie.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, yes. I'm just wondering will there be any DNA from the first wheelie, or even the wheelie that came with Grimlock?
Maybe the same colors.
No.
It might have the same, like, similar colors to the one that came with Grimlock, like, as far as, like, the paint matching, maybe.
It could maybe come with the same little removable slingshot piece.
Yeah, possibly. I think it looks good in box. I don't think it looks great when taken out and posed.
It does have a slingshot with it.
Yeah. And, you know, this also is not the DNA design unofficial upgrade kit wheelie.
Oh, yeah. That's,
so,
yeah,
you know,
there's mercifully,
there's a couple of upsides to this, but yeah, like right now I can't see that I feel the need to replace my Legends Series wheelie, and I don't remember having the structural problems with the vehicle mode like you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I've got the Takara version and the Hasbro version, both are fine.
Now I want to see wheelie come with a little slingshot that's made to look like Slingshot the Aerial Bot.
Yeah.
That he can hold.
It'd be gold and it would break.
Well, I mean, if you've got Titans Return broadside, Don, you can kind of fake it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I'm glad you pulled that one right out, and that's totally true. Okay, so let's see here. Anything else? Okay, so we talked Wheelie to Death, though. DK3.
It's Blue Trailbreaker.
Yeah, Dive Blue Trailbreaker. With cartoon Trailbreaker head, unfortunately.
Still, give it to me now.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, someone will make a different head that you can put on it, probably, maybe.
You know,
Burnout's going to have the wrong head, too, so...
We
shall make do with what we get.
There may be another Centurion drone set down the road where the bag of parts is some extra heads to swap out.
Well, I do wish they do that more often. I really like that.
Someone in our Discord was suggesting that as a possibility, too. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one of you it was. That, you know, this is what's being shown on the photos, but maybe it will come with a second head. Like, I'd be satisfied enough if they just would put the hoist head on it, because that at least looks, you know, generic-ish. Yeah. It's closer to what it should be.
Yeah, the visor, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, like, the specific likeness of one character, exactly.
Another thing revealed today, and this came from In-Demand Toys, Shattered Glass Flame War.
Shattered Glass Flame War, who doesn't actually exist in Shattered Glass until today?
I know. But am I the only person who, like, absolutely loves this?
I mean, I'll get it.
Looks great. I think that's going to be the only way I decide to own that RC mold. So, yeah, I think I'm going to get that.
I don't think it's an improvement over the Flame War that I already have, so I'm going to skip it.
I mean, if
I do not already have that, so that's a plus in my column.
If I could get the BotCon 2014 Flame War for the same price this will cost, I would go with that one instead.
Is that the last version of Flame War? Other than the original Flame War?
Yeah, the original Flame War was a 2005 toy, and then did not get revisited again until the Pirates versus Knights set, I think that was that year. And then Cybertron was the next year.
There was a mass market Legion class version of Flame War that turned up at Five Below a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember where that fell in the overall chronology, but I remember that happened.
Prime Cyberverse.
Yeah, so that probably would be a little bit older. So that BotCon one probably was the last one until now.
Okay.
Besides, if you want a red motorcycle and you don't want to get the shattered glass version for some reason, if you want to, you can get Road Rocket. So, I mean, you don't have another red motorcycle you can default to if you can find it.
This looks better. I like this. I think they did a really nice job.
She looks great.
Yeah.
I think she looks awesome.
And Ben was also very pleased to see this today.
Of course he was.
Yeah, he created Flame War in the first place.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I wish I could create a character and get toys made out of it every year.
So Shattered Glass and Flame War.
Yeah.
You know, so I really hope they probably won't, but it'd be nice for him to get a credit on her box, just like character created by Ben Sunny or something. Just a little, you know, something like that.
All you gotta do is sue. just sue and you know, wait 10 years and you can get it.
Or, you know, wait until you die and then your heirs will negotiate for it. That's popular.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that certainly saves you a lot of trouble then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. let's see here. Okay, so Buzzworthy Bumblebee, Toys Hitting US, the 4-pack, the Naked Dinobot.
Toy Colors. Toy Color. And it's not naked, it's raw chicken.
Rock chicken,
chicken.
I mean, okay, I guess for a certain value.
It's a chicken, I tell you. A plucked chicken.
Pterosaur. So, yeah, I need to start. Like, Kim asked me, she went to Target last night. It's like, do you need anything from Target? And I'm like, no. And then I called her back. Are you still at Target? I forgot. She's like, no, I've already left.
I went to my Target today after work, and it is so messy. They got so much stuff on clearance, and
they're all none of it.
None of it is anything. You can't find anything. The only thing that's not clearance is all them Starscreams. That's still sitting there.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any Starscreams on the shelf.
You posted on Twitter today. If you see one more, you'll scream.
Yeah.
But not Starscream. You'll just scream.
It's
And the sad thing is, not everyone, but people are finding sludge. And like I mentioned on Twitter, Brian, you were right. It's just a matter of bad engineering designs, because everyone is finding some mostly that are just not good.
Yeah, I mean, maybe eventually they'll fix it. Maybe they won't. If you put it in dino mode, it's fine.
It's Starscreams and Galvatrons galore.
Yeah. And, you know, For years, we wanted a Galvatron that was good, and now you can't, you know, shake a stick without hitting one.
Because we've gotten it four times.
At least this year's version has the clean deco that we were complaining about not getting last year.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, are you, just a side question, are you going to get the foot upgrade that you can change, that you can move the, that puts the feet up under the body?
Let me refer to something I said explicitly last week. I don't buy upgrades.
I don't remember you saying that last week, but
I said it very recently. If it wasn't last week, it was the week before. I don't buy upgrades. I bought, like, for Galvatron, the first one was it C? No, what was it? Kingdom. I bought like the whole peg thing filler, and I'm like, I'm never doing this again.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah. I don't care enough to do it.
I mean, some upgrades are pretty cool, you know, but like little things like hubcap add-ons to fill in the mushroom pegs on the wheels. Like, I don't need to go that small detail with it, but like, you know, some of the stuff does material changes, which are good and interesting.
When a toy lives in a bin in a room that never sees the light of day, I don't need to upgrade it.
I have the same issue coupled with, I just sometimes feel weird, you know, modifying something from its original state when I doubt I'm ever going to see another one personally.
Yeah.
So I bought the non-F upgrade kits for the Earthrise Ironhide and Ratchet figures, and I may just put those on Diaclone Ironhide when that gets here tomorrow.
Huh. Yeah, I have that Power of the Primes Inferno that I bought, the second one, for the purposes of making it Fire Chief. I've got the stickers. I finally going to open it and apply them here in the next few weeks. So I do the same thing. If I'm going to modify it, and if it's like, you know, either irreversible or it's gonna be a pain in the butt, I'll just buy a second one or not do it. Okay. What else? Walmart Collectors Con starts July 21st. That's next week.
Yeah. It coincides with what's usually preview night for SDCC.
Yeah. So Velocitron deluxes are expected in store this month. I didn't realize that, actually.
I don't think we realized that until a few days ago when Hyper Shouta in our Discord was telling us the stuff's coming earlier than we thought it was going to.
All deluxes, like including Cosmos, or like ones?
Far as I understand, they should all be in one assortment together in Cosmos' short pack.
Oh, God.
Of course. I wonder if they're going to ship in a PDQ.
I don't know. We know what that is, but explain that for people to remember.
A PDQ is a pre-made display from a manufacturer sold to a retail establishment that you basically, everything is already in there in predetermined slots. It's just wrapped up and covered. So when you pull off the outer cardboard shell, you price it and you drop it where you want to display it and you go.
The last one I saw, remember at Walmart, was Netflix Wave 1. So that's the last one that I remember seeing.
Right, yeah. I'm just wondering if, with it being this many toys, if they wouldn't go for a big presentation.
Probably not, because they haven't done it recently. And the problem I have with PDQs at Walmart is not every store gets them. So that's why I'm really against the PDQs at Walmart.
Oh, I am too. It's just...
The last time I was at my store, they also had like a conspicuously empty row in the Transformers section.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about being able to find this stuff, because the average person is not going to know where these go without specific tags. And unless a reset is done, those tags won't be there.
They just live in the back of the store for the next 15 years.
Exactly.
And... Well, okay. So,
2007 Ramjet and Dirge did for the movie. Mm-hmm. My store had them for 4 months before they actually went out, because I talked to the toy manager. She said, oh, they've been back there about 4 or 5 months. I just didn't know where to put them.
Great. Apparently, Walmart is getting a reset in toys coinciding with, I think, the week of the 25th. So that would kind of all line up. Got to
clear out that Jurassic Park merchandise.
my local Walmart, the one I'm most local to, is a mess, in the sense that they have way too much product. The other Walmart doesn't have enough product. So it's kind of funny. So if they married and shared their stuff.
What I'm looking at locally here is a ton of the Beast Wars Legacy stuff. Those exclusives still hanging around. So
yeah,
that seems like it's going to be a problem. Hyper Shouta says for their store, It is just a single case of Velocitron so far coming this month, so that would kind of rule out the PDQ thing.
Yeah, oh, it's no. just, I mean, between all the Lightyear stuff and all the Jurassic Park stuff, there's just so much stuff.
The Batman.
That it's going to take forever for them to get it done and then put the stuff on the shelf.
And forever's a long time coming.
Yep. Well, I mean, what's it matter? If I order Wave 1 through Walmart.com, they're not going to send it to me. So I might as well.
Yeah, I mean, you make a valid point there, at least in your case.
Why don't you just wait for the store?
Yeah, Walmart hates you specifically from all indications.
Walmart hates you specifically. Show title.
ever since they sent me that free Xbox, they don't like me.
You're going to be paying for that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. One last thing. What is this?
I'm reading this section. The wonderful world of vaporware Amazon product listings. So
that's always a fun time.
Yeah. So we had a couple interesting things come up. The second item here, I'm only bringing up just because this is a kind of topic. But for Amazon Prime Day, it looked like the Amazon Prime Optimus Prime was going to finally turn up. Listings seem to get refreshed on various Amazon sites around the world, and hey, look, Amazon Prime Day is basically over with, and it still hasn't become available.
Ooh. That is the most disappointing thing about Prime Day. I mean, I haven't bought anything, but I would have bought
a TV I didn't
that.
Need. I bought a TV that I didn't need. It's going to go in the closet. That's what Prime Day is. That and clearance crap.
Yeah, I mean, electronics like that is good if you can get one on a deal and you've space the store, just have it around for when you do
50 bucks
it.
Yeah, 50 bucks.
Ooh,
dang. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah,
I like that. So far Amazon Prime Optimus Prime has once again not materialized. We'll see if that's just something that's going to come running late. We kind of said the same thing last year, and then July became August and September and then November, and then it was 2022 and it still wasn't there. And Maybe this is just something that's like automatically programmed in their system. Every time it's about to be Prime Day, they just like pop that listing back up because it thinks it should be there and it's just not going to be. So we'll see next July if this comes up again. The follow-up...
It's torture.
The follow-up to this. Last week, just after the show wrapped up, everybody started reporting on a Legacy Leader Class Dark Mount listing.
Oh, wow.
That was turning up on international Amazon websites. The thing about that is that toy doesn't exist. If you took the same Amazon product code and plug it into the main US Amazon website, it turns into the Dragon Megatron listing. So according to JT Prime, what this is, Legacy Dark Mount was apparently an early pitch for Legacy that got shelved or just dropped in favor of doing the Megatron, but like for a good 24 hours, everybody was reporting on that like it was a newly discovered thing when, unfortunately, no, it was just old, outdated information that, once again, kind of...
I'd love a new Straxis.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's been, God, like 13 years?
Yes.
Yeah. That's still a good figure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Could use a bigger one, though, I think is the point.
Yeah.
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 Given that was a large deluxe for the time, even a leader by the current standards might only be slightly bigger, though.
I mean, it was a chunky deluxe, but like height wise, it wasn't like, super big.
Yeah.
Fair.
Probably if this Dark Mount had materialized, I would imagine it would have been probably a Galvatron retool.
I buy
Makes
it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you can make that work. It wouldn't be ideal, but you could make that work.
A third party's already done it. Right. I know that's what Don's wanting to point at. And
no,
would buy it.
No, I'm going to say, Chris, when Galvatron first came out, I asked you and Rob specifically, could they make that into a Straxis?
And we probably said probably.
Yeah, yeah, you did. You said it would take some retooling,
yeah.
But they also build in retooling for future use right into these now.
Yeah, and if that was the plan at one point and that tooling is sitting there, like this could pop back up. It could materialize at any point down the road where that toy is still viable at its price point.
Make a great Generation Selects release.
Yeah, actually.
With Galvatron, they probably
just... a store exclusive somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Galvatron, they probably just said, hey, we can repaint this six times. We can do it. We can do a damaged. We can do a toy.
Yeah, I mean,
then
we'll
do a non-damaged.
I could certainly envision, like, they put the Straxis Dark Mount stuff on the tooling, as an option to run that engineering a second time, but then they figured out all these ways they could just re-release Galvatron as is and get their investment back on the mold, and then suddenly, you know, Straxus becomes a lower priority, and they instead slot a new mold leader into what would have been that retool spot. But if the tooling exists, we could see it one day.
Yeah.
Like G-Axis, I mean,
how was it that you live?
What else are they going to do with him? So,
sorry, I can't not.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Hey, Chris, what'd you get this week?
Ah, yes. Well, so I got three things since last show, and I'm going to go in the order that I opened them, since I did it over the stretch of multiple days in order to, you know, get the most out of each one. Because if you just open a bunch of stuff all at once, like, it kind of just washes over you and you don't really enjoy any of them. So Friday night, after I just finished watching the season finale of Strange New Worlds, which was awesome.
It was amazing.
So I finished watching that and having dinner, and since I'd been delaying it since the previous afternoon, I figured I should just get it over with and open Sludge.
Okay.
I decided to start with Sludge because by all conversations I'd observed here and elsewhere, I was expecting it to be the biggest disappointment out of everything. So I got to slowly unpacking it, and as I untied the legs from the backing, I decided to, you know, have an initial feel of the joints. And was that a ratchet click from the knee? I thought I heard someone say the knees didn't have any ratcheting.
Jealous.
So I started going a little faster untying the rest of it, and set Sludge down on its own 2 feet, and it stood solidly with posing tricks or outside support. I could pose the legs different ways. I could even push backward and forward on the upper body, and the legs didn't give out from under it.
Was it like pre-furniture polished?
The wings and their soft plastic connecting parts, they held together firmly. As yet, I've had no flopping around or the wings coming off at all. Not one time. Somehow, I have ended up with a perfectly okay Sludge. It's a completely unremarkable specimen it's remarkable for being unremarkable. And I was absolutely delighted with this fact. It's been the feeling of the most mundane euphoria.
You are not the only person I've heard of that's gotten like a good example, but there are only like three of you.
Do I need to keep returning it until I get a good one?
Possibly.
It sounds like winning the lottery, unfortunately.
Sludge was my first Transformer. I should be the one to get a decent one.
I mean, I agree, but I'm not giving you mine.
I heard with the knees, where it's supposed to be a soft ratchet and yours just goes like this.
Yeah.
That if you open it up and put a Q-tip in there and break the head of the Q-tip off, it'll make that ratchet work.
It may not make the ratchet work, but it will tighten up the space in there where the teeth will catch a little bit better. It will add friction to it in a way that's not floor polish. But mine actually has working ratchets, so I think we were talking about this last week, whether it was a QC problem or just an engineering defect, and I think it is a QC problem. Like, some of them are getting assembled correctly in those knee joints, but most of them are not. And those detents are not catching.
Or there was just a bad batch that was run.
Yeah.
So the missing component is the end of a Q-tip.
Yeah, that's one way to go with it, apparently. I also suspect it may just be like the earliest batches of Sludge did not get their knee joints assembled correctly. And, you know, if you can catch it later on, if you can catch later instances of it.
He's in here somewhere.
Don,
Who is Don? Who's in here?
Hank. Don, I won't be over for another, like, 20 minutes.
Okay, so anyway, I did eventually have to transform Sludge, and that involved a lot of, like, angles and reversing things and a mostly exploded dinosaur at one or two points. Yeah. That wasn't really a great process to go through, even though I like, in concept, how so much of the dinosaur collapses into the robot legs and you get, like, a really thorough color shift from one mode to the other. Like, that's really cool. It's just not fun to do. So I'm kind of conflicted on that. But yeah, all signs are I've had one of the best possible Sludge experiences one can hope for. But even so, Sludge comes in at third place out of three Dinobots for me.
Are any of the three Dinobots that have been released so far fun to transform? Slag sure isn't.
Grimlock is.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like Grimlock.
I'm fine with Slag and Grimlock.
I transformed Slag last week so that I could have them both in Dino mode. I don't know where Grimlock is. And I don't remember how Grimlock was, but I remember that I just clearly remember from last week that Slag wasn't that great.
I mean, Grimlock is better than Slag. Slag is better than Sludge in terms of how the transformation goes. Slag's not the greatest thing around, but like Grimlock's very straightforward, and Slag's not that bad. You just kind of have to be used to it.
Is Snarl or Swoop next, or do we know?
Snarl.
Okay.
What's the best Dinobot?
Swoop will be the last one, which means it'll either be like, you know, the worst one in terms of transformation, or like the best one because it'll be the simplest one by that point. Because I do feel like Sludge, in a lot of ways, is simpler than Slag and Grimlock. The transformation has more weird bits to it, but like just the toy in either finished mode feels more simple, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
So the next one I opened up was G-Axis, which I had concerns over since it seemed unlikely it could live up to all that hype, but oh, did it live up to the hype.
It's a really good figure.
Like, it is. It floors me this thing exists. The robot mode gets to look really spot on to G2 comic art, which is just like insane by itself. But I think in a way it's because this was designed the same way as the original character model for G-Axis. Design a robot and don't worry about how it's going to transform. Just make a cool looking robot.
Yeah.
Have you put him in Starscream's throne yet?
Yeah, I mean, it basically works. I also got to work in my Universe 2008 drop shot chair mode. Like, it'll fit in that too.
Excellent.
So he's all leg.
There's seating options. Yeah, like, it's very evident to me that most of the attention went to the robot mode of this. They wanted to get that part right and then figure out how to make it a vehicle afterward. So the robot's very clean, very little vehicle kibble, almost no visible gaps in the toy. And where the gaps could have been, they cleverly came up with a way to cover them. One thing that relieved me getting this in hand was that the white plastic is much more opaque looking in person than the photos had been making it seem. Like, I thought it was going to be another Siege Ape face with that milky white plastic, and it is not. It's very far from that. Certainly not as good as it was just, like, you know, completely painted in white, but, like, that's unrealistic. One thing I appreciate in a very G2 sense is the yellow on this, where virtually all of it is this particular, like, highlighter yellow shade. It has a benefit of making the paint match the plastic in the hands very closely, but it also gives, and this is going to sound ridiculous as a phrase, but it gives it a subtle kind of eye-searing quality. You know it's bright and kind of hurts to look at, but you don't immediately know why. The face sculpt is fantastic, and of course, the most important little detail is present, a G2 Decepticon symbol. Which would have been so easy to get wrong, and has happened before, G2 Bruticus, I'm looking at you. So I'm really pleased to see that they got that little thing right. The transformation and vehicle mode are nothing remarkable. I think the most remarkable thing with the transformation is the tail fin goes on the sides of the lower legs. It splits in half lengthwise going from vehicle mode to robot mode and fills in those gaps on the legs, which I think is a really cool little idea. Make that piece feel a little bit fragile, so you want to be careful with that, but like it's a cool little engineering trick to just make the robot that much more clean. The vehicle mode keeps the rough shape of what was shown in the comics, and the transformation to get there is otherwise pretty simple. It would be completely fine if not for that it has the robot arms left to simply hang underneath the body, and they don't fit in anywhere, kind of like they ran out of space to hide them and then quit for the day and never went back to it. It's, like, the one bad quality of the whole toy, in my opinion. But, like, for the robot mode, it hits everything. Great look, great detailing, really excellent articulation, including jointed fingers that the toy doesn't need for anything. They're just completely superfluous.
Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
It's fine, Don.
I was going to say that someone had mentioned that they were good for holding the Matrix, but it was Thunderwing that held the Matrix in the comic. But that's what one of the... rumors going around is that's who they can use this for is Thunderwing.
I could see them getting Thunderwing's inner robot out of this. I don't know if they would go that direction necessarily, but
that would explain why it would have those kind of hands if they're Matrix holding hands.
But yeah, G-Axis is great. The robot mode's fantastic. The only thing I'd really want to add to it, in realistic terms, would be like a light ink wash on the face and the shins to pop the details there a little bit. Hey Mickey kind of went in that direction with his copy of it, and like there's so much detail that you can bring out on the face with a little bit of a ink wash.
Chris, did you know about the moving the sensor?
Yeah, the little shoulder thing comes off on a 5mm peg and can plug into the back of the rifle. I was kind of hoping that the peg was, when I heard about this from, I think, Manikara in our Discord, I was hoping the peg was on the opposite side so you could actually plug the rifle into the shoulder, but it doesn't quite work.
Mm.
But yeah, like, I really could not be happier with G-Axis. It blew away every expectation I had. The last thing I got was Junk Heap, and I don't really have a lot to say about this one. Nothing could really compare to G-Axis, honestly, and maybe I should have opened Junk Heap first, but, you know. There's plenty of different parts from Rekgar, so they're more differentiated than any of the old Deluxe Junkions were. So I appreciate that. The joint tolerances on my copy are better than they had with Rekgar, but, you know, that's just an individual variation thing. Getting the motorcycle mode to come together felt a little more difficult than it was with Rekgar, which could be a matter of the new chest panel or the alternate head, or maybe just the joints feeling a little bit different. It gets there in the end, it just doesn't feel quite the same as transforming Rekgar. The new parts change the bike's silhouette just enough to give it, its own distinction. But honestly, I'd kind of like to see this retool in, like, flashier colors. The gray and brown's probably accurate to the specific Junkion they're going for, but I think, like, a red and gold version would look really good. You know, just something a little bit more garish and eye-catching. Not G2 per se, but, you know, in this spirit.
Runner-up show title, garish and eye-catching.
Mainly what I noticed this time around was the feeling of reduced enthusiasm versus handling Rekgar the first time. It's a solid mold, but I'm feeling like there might not be enough substance to it to really support having many multiples. So if they were to revisit this again, I can't say right now whether I'd actually come back for a third pass at it.
The one thing I wanted to mention about it is I felt uncomfortable with the spikes on his arms and legs because it really seems like that will poke some kid's eye out.
They are less soft.
They're semi-rigid.
Yeah, they're less soft than I would expect a part like that to be.
I accidentally bent the one on his left leg. I don't know how. He was just laying down. Mm-hmm. So I guess his own weight did it when he was laying long enough. But like it is rigid enough where if it hit you in the eye, you couldn't see out of that eye anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we need some like little tiny tennis balls to stick on the ends of those spikes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's it for me.
I'm going to go next. I got two of those things. G-Axis and Junk Heap. The other thing I got is last week, I guess I've been on a roll when it came to the 85 Happy Meal toys. But a seller on eBay had a two-pack, a twofer, both bronze, a green and red sample version, and a blue and yellow. And I needed the blue and yellow in my collection. So puts me one closer to having a complete set. So happy with that. And that's what I got this week. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. So I'm in Ohio. Basically, anytime I get a little bit of free time at night, I go into a local Target or Walmart because at least, if nothing else, it's good to walk around. So it's kind of like a healthy thing.
Yeah. Find an abandoned mall. That's even better. Yeah.
So, like I said, it's been Coronation Starscreams and Galvatrons galore. The Walmart I just went in right before the show, because every night I'm at a different hotel. It's not even like I'm at the same hotel for multiple nights. I walked in, and of course, it was Coronation, Starscream, and Galvatron. And I got a work message. So I'm in the toy aisle responding to a work message. And I don't know if any of you ever do this when you're looking at your phone and for like a minute. Then when I looked back up, I kind of looked up and around. And on the very top shelf, pushed all the way back, I saw a Transformers box. And then I realized that it was Blitzwing.
Ooh, so awesome.
It's something I said I wasn't going to get. But when you've been into how many Targets and Walmarts that I've been in last week and not seen anything, I was like, I'll just get it. And, I haven't transformed it yet because I just got it right before the show, but I did pull it out of the box and just mess around with the tank.
It's packed in tank mode?
The tank mode, yeah. Tank mode's okay. I still don't feel like it's a leader class toy, and these stupid hand rocket things, whatever they are, don't really to me, put it in that later class category. So, I mean, with tax, because it was $54 and tax years, 7.5%, it was almost $60 for this. And I'm like, it just doesn't feel like a $60 toy to me. I would have been happy if it was like $40. The other thing that kind of bothers me is, and I've been trying to straighten out the sword, but this is soft, you know, soft rubber, and they put it in the packaging in a way that it warps it, you know, before you even take it out. And I just think, like, if they're going to do soft plastic like this, they should at least package it in a way where it's not going to be all distorted when you take it out of the box. But that's all I got. I mean, other than G-Axis, which I actually had time to play with, I think XV is right. Chris is right that the arms are a little, at first, you're like, wow. But I think it's okay because it's not like Starscream that's trying to be in, you know, an F-15 jet or whatever he is, to where it's really off-putting because it's kind of got that weird kind of Cybertronian look to the jet anyway. So it's not like it's trying to be a specific car or jet. So I think I'm okay with it. And I got Junk Heap, but I didn't open him before I left. Didn't have time.
Actually, speaking of opening, people who follow me on Twitter, and I've talked about it here, have seen that I'm trying to go through my stuff. I created a pile of to open stuff. I don't know if you can see it. It's like a 5-tier shelf. The shelf dimensions like 40 inches by 18 or 24 inches, I think. 18 inches.
Mostly 24 consisting inches. Of G.I. Joe Battle Android Troopers.
Yeah, it's mostly G.I. Joe. Mostly G.I. Joe. But like I'll probably be talking about some things that I haven't opened before as I go through that I find interesting. One thing I opened was that Sergeant Slaughter Action Force figure that Matt tricked me into buying. out of package, I actually kind of like it. So it was a worthy purchase. It looks pretty good.
I bought
good.
It too. So
yeah, it actually looks fine in hand. So, but Don wanted to go next. So Don.
Well, I will say, Diecast, ignore the Hulk hands. They're kind of stupid on Blitzwing. Yeah. But I think if once you get to robot mode, you'll see it may still not be the leader price point and value since the add-on stuff is kind of dumb. But I think when you get to robot mode, you'll see how well he pulls off being a Blitzwing. So I think there's some definite value there. I got a very eclectic mix this week. Target marked down the Autobot Silver Streaks down to about $10. I went ahead and got a second one because mine is a little, it doesn't quite peg together in some places. I'm a little worried about breakage. I figured they were down to like 4, and I figured I better get one now before anything else goes wrong. And I went, you know, it's a nice figure. I wouldn't mind having if I lose a missile or whatever the case may be. Went to go to the grocery store to get a country ham hock to make some pinto beans. And I ran to the Dollar General next door, found a second RC, one to open and one to keep on card.
I don't think you should open either of them, Don.
I think that's authentic RC for people without the...
Yeah. Yeah, authentic RC, yeah. I think she is one per case because the last time I was at the Dollar General, they had nothing on that hook. And now they had a full hook with one of each. So I think she's like a pack in a box of 6 and she's one of 6. So there's that. Last week I got it, but forgot to mention it. I got G2, core class Megatron.
Oh, where'd you get that from?
Amazon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Amazon. Also from Amazon, G-Axis, as I showed off earlier, maybe not toy of the year, but definitely in probably my top 5 so far. Just for, you look at G2 G-Axis, you thought there's no way this thing can physically exist. And yet it pulls off nearly every point that a G-axis needs to look like. And yeah, that the hands underneath, but at least they got that swing where it's not up here close to the nose cone. It's at least towards the back, like it's a cargo section. Yeah, so that helps salvage that there. So yeah. Really, really like G-axis. I got Junk Heap. I have not had a chance to open him yet. Also from Amazon, I have not had a chance to open him. Galvatron, Studio Series Galvatron. Thought I would give him a try. Came super earlier than I was expecting to get him.
Yeah, it was solicited for January.
Yeah, so it's like, ta-da. And I ordered something last night that wasn't due until fourth quarter 2022, and it's being processed now at Entertainment Earth. So I hope that I'll have that by next week. The last two things I've got is to go on my Robots in Disguise 2005 Optimus Prime shelf, as you know, I've been, as you can see, maybe in the corner there with my Godfire Convoy and Black Convoy and all that stuff. Picked up off eBay the Universe version of the Spy Changer Ultra Magnus, the one in black instead of I never had the Universe version. I've got the regular version in a box somewhere.
I've got that somewhere. I don't necessarily remember it much. I know I got it though.
Yeah, I think it was to as more of a reference to the Sam's Club Magnus that used the black versus the blue legs. So that's my guess. But I got him. And the last thing I got was also Ultra Magnus, but I got a boxed Robots in Disguise Ultra Magnus.
Nice, nice. How much was that? Nice. Out of curiosity.
$100.
That's about what I thought. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's one end has been opened, but everything is there. Everything is sealed.
It looks nice in the box, yeah. Matt, and yeah, that's the best way to enjoy it is in the box.
Yeah, especially especially since in the box you can't see that the tires are split.
but see, I've got, you probably can't tell, but the side of the yellow Optimus Prime on the second shelf there, I have a boxed red Optimus Prime signed by Neil Kaplan.
Well, mine's not signed by Neil Kaplan. I should ask him to sign it, though.
Yeah. So that's going to go on that shelf. So I'm really happy. I had it on my watch list, and the buyer sent me an offer, which was about like almost $30 less than what he was asking. So I was like, and free shipping. So, like, yes, I will buy that Ultra Magnus, and I will put that on my shelf, and I will be happy.
Yeah.
And that's where
watch,
I got this.
Speaking of watch list, that's what I got this week. Speaking of watch list, I got something today I only see once every 6 months or so. Something I'm waiting to get is an Optimus Prime Soaky, the soap bottle, shampoo bottle, whatever, from the 80s. This one looks great, and the price is right, except for it's split down the seam.
Oops.
Which I didn't realize. I almost bought it. I'm like, oh, no. So if anybody has one of those for sale at a reasonable price, let me know. Matt, did you get anything?
I got nothing.
Rob?
Yeah, I got a fair number of things, actually. First off, man, where should I start? Okay, so this week I got some manga in. I'd ordered like a while back and forgotten about. I got Devilman Volume 2.
That's what made me
think of Devilman Crybaby. It is a horror manga about the end of the world by the creator of Mazinger Z.
Oh, okay, cool. So it's basically what we're living.
Kind of, except worse. I mean, probably one of the only worse I can think of. It is how everything comes out in Devilman. So yeah, which is impressive in and of itself. But got that. It's not bad. I'm glad to have the complete thing. They stuffed like a fairly long manga into two hardcover volumes, and volume two was out of print for a long time. So glad to have that. Got the third volume of Dragon Quest Adventures of Dai. That's enjoyable, but I do see that we're going to have a lot of people coming back from the dead a lot of times to help the heroes. So I'm kind of wondering if that's going to get like Lord of the Rings old. So we'll see how that goes. In terms of other things for Prime Day, I did get Batman the Animated Series for $25 on Blu-ray, which also comes with Mask of the Phantasm and Sub-Zero. There's no good reason not to get that if you have a Blu-ray player. Also Speed Racer, which is $12, so I grabbed that at the same time. And the one on topic thing that actually got here on time this week, I had two more that were supposed to show up, and I'll get them like tomorrow and Saturday. But just like Chris got the good sludge, I got the bad G-axis. And mine, the knees are really floppy. It can keep itself up, but the knees are very, very loose. The panels that let you turn the hands in don't really like to lock down.
Boo.
And he's bobble-headed. So despite all that, it is still a fantastic toy, and I'm probably going to roll the dice again at some later date. If I see G-Axis on sale, I'm going to try and get another one and hope I get better QC, because yeah, there's still enough I like about this toy that it is worth it to me to try and get one with fewer problems. I still don't understand why he comes with the Big Lots knockoff version of himself's gun as a bonus.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, damn it, that's not exactly what that is.
See, my theory is that is his backup weapon, and mm-hmm. he's just, you know, enough of a 90s cliche that his smaller secondary weapon is just a, you know, reduced scale copy of his main weapon.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I have a feeling that what it comes down to is that they had reference panels with the gun in two different sizes, so they went with both. But either way, like I said, great figure despite the problems, going to try and get one without the problems, and I think that's basically everything important I got this week.
Cool. Hey, if you want to buy something on Prime Day and you haven't yet, it's got you got like an hour left. tfradio.net/Amazon, just saying. But I want to thank our patrons at the Touch tier. You can sign up at patreon.com/tfradio. Kevin Dorsey, Ryan Bona, Emmett Sresevich, Brother Abbots, Hector Bones, Ness, Joey Russell, Jay Rye, Sean Hamilton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Bratton, Spider Bob, Tyrell Gwynn, Rick Mahurin, Blake Reynolds, Vegemite Mike, Jason Tate, Eric Griffin, Sabertron Toys, Sean I. Williamson. Thank you all so much. If you want to become a patron at the Touch tier, go to patreon.com/tfradio. You can find all our crap at tfradio.net. Like, everything is there. Like podcasts going back to the 1990s. Who else has that? Nobody. That we know of. Somebody might. But you know, most likely not. tfradio.net. You can find me on Twitter at bkilby, on Instagram at Brian Kilby. John DeLuna not here. He's at that John D everywhere. Rob Springer not here. He's at RoboRobSpringer and at zonebase.org. Besides Ohio, Diecast, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast. And you can also, my birthday is coming up next Friday, the 22nd. So you can check out my wish list at tfradio.net/diecastlist if you want. And that's pretty much it. Hopefully I'll get some. I really wanted to do a video of G-Axis before I left, but I just ran out of time. Because, man, that is such a nice figure. That's when I really like doing reviews, is when the figure is exciting, you know, because I hate reviewing bad figures.
But. Yeah, nobody likes reviewing bad figures.
Oh, no, sometimes it's fun.
Yeah, true. Cool. Don.
Well, I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. Also, as a reminder, I will be getting married in October to the most wonderful woman in the world. And we are going on a Carnival cruise. And if you go to tfradio.net/honeymoon, there are a few packages and things there that we have put up. If you're in a position to help and would like us to experience some of the things on the cruise that we normally couldn't swing, we would appreciate it. And we want to, as always, thank those who have got something off the list before, just to help us, you know, enjoy a few more things on the honeymoon. We do appreciate it.
Cool. Rob?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Rob Flails. That is the Flailthrough's Twitter account. Flailthrough's being my YouTube channel, which I've been covering Gundam games for 10 years now, which is terrifying. And right now, still doing Gundam Battle Operation 2, because easiest to keep covering things in like 8-minute bites when you have a bad arm. So Gundam Battle Operation 2 just added the bound dock this week, which is huge and ridiculous. And it's a lot of fun. So there's a video up for that on my channel if you want to see what it's like. youtube.com/flailthroughs. And if you like what you see there, patreon.com/flailthroughs, you can give me money for it and make requests of me and things like that. And also, if you just want to send me a thing, tfradio.net/claylist goes to my Amazon wish list, where a little bit of the proceeds should go back to Brian.
Sweet. Chris?
Playwithphotography.com is where I keep all of my toy photography, so if you'd like to check that out, go over there. If you'd like to throw some support my way for the things that I do or just generally help me out, patreon.com/playwithphotos. I have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist, and like Rob's, a little bit of that will go back to keep the show going for anything you buy out of just, you know, random acts of kindness toward me.
Sweet. Okay. I guess that's it. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Later, all.
Who knows where I'll be next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, what are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?